I'm going to speak today on forgiveness. And, you know, the scripture that Ted read is really one of my favorites about how the kingdom of God works. And Jesus even says that in that passage, that, you know, if we're forgiven, he wants us to forgive also. So I'm going to speak about it today. I'm going to talk about the what, why, how, who, and then not being offended and not being the type of person that wants to be forgiven all the time or needs to be forgiven all the time because we offend, and also not to be offended as easily. The biblical translations for forgiveness in the Bible usually involve letting go or covering over, forgiving a debt, not holding account. And those are all good descriptions, but when I was looking for a scripture to describe what forgiveness really is, I looked at Ephesians 4, 31 through 32, where it says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you." So, to me, that's a really good description of forgiveness. It's letting go of the bitterness, the wrath, the anger, the malice, and the ill feelings that you have towards somebody when they have sinned against you or offended you in some way. Because that's how God forgave us. He did not hold us to account for the things that we did. You know, a Christian apologist, C.S. Lewis, once said that being a Christian means forgiving the inexcusable because God forgave us the inexcusable in us. So it's not to revisit an offense. It's given often when it's unmerited or even asked for. It cancels any debt to, and it cancels any need for vengeance or retribution, because we have no right to harbor bitter feelings if we're going to truly forgive. Because God forgave us that way. He completely canceled our debt, forgave us our sins, and he threw them in the sea of forgetfulness. He doesn't bring them back up to us. If you're being reminded of sin in your life from the past, that's not Jesus doing that. That's Satan doing that. Because once he forgives you, he forgives you. And so you're forgiven, and it's not brought back up by him again. You don't need an apology to forgive somebody. You know, Jesus was dying on the cross in Luke 23:34. It says, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And these people were gleefully killing him. They were enjoying what they were doing. And yet, he asked God to forgive them. And that takes something very, very special. And only through God's Spirit can we ever have that kind of forgiveness in our life. But it's doable. You know, Stephen did the same thing in the book of Acts. He was being stoned to death. And as he was dying, he asked God to not hold those people to account. That's a powerful thing. And our goal is to be like Jesus, so that's what we need to do. We need to try to strive to have that heart in us that's able to forgive even what sometimes seems unforgivable. Why we should forgive? It's pretty simple. Matthew 6, 14 through 15 says, "For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Jesus is speaking here, and he's pretty clear. It's not a suggestion. It's not, hey, this is good practice to do, or it's not a good idea. It's a commandment right from the mouth of the Lord. We have to forgive. And it's not that we try to earn our salvation through going through forgiving everybody. It's more of what we should be and who we should be. And I think Jesus said that not only because it's a requirement, but he wants that to be our heart. You have to be a forgiving person if you're going to be a follower of Christ. You just have to be, because you have been forgiven so much. And sometimes we have to forgive a lot. Sometimes we can be truly, truly hurt. You know, you talk about things in life. Sometimes you hear about people who are abused as children, and sometimes people were actually physically harmed. You can go throughout history and see people who forgave tremendous sin against themselves. But Christ is always our best example. You know, and society doesn't forgive. Society never, you know, you read about people in the public eye who have done something that is grievous, and there's never any forgiveness. I mean, you know, you think about some of the most evil things that God has forgiven, but yet you can never expect the people in the world to do that because it's just not in them. Unless they belong to Jesus, they're not going to be forgiving people. Not like he is, anyway. You know, Romans 17 through 21 says, "Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourself, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." So when we forgive, we're overcoming evil. You're defeating Satan when you forgive someone, despite what they've done to you. And I mean, when you forgive someone who doesn't want forgiven or anything, it's not that you're forgiving them so that you can heap coals on fire on their head. Like, "Oh yeah, I'm going to burn them up." That's not what it should be about. It should be because you have the heart of God. It's because you have the heart that Jesus had that you're able to forgive what seems unforgivable at times. So, and it also says in that scripture that we repay evil done to us with kindness. With kindness. And that's what separates Jesus Christ from so many other religions and everything, is that we as Christians are to do good to those who do evil to us. It's hard to find that in any other faith in the world. But that's why Jesus is so, that's why he's God and the other ones are not. Okay, I'm going to talk about now what forgiveness is not. It's not always easy. Sometimes we've been sinned against in a great way and it's hard to forgive it. But it doesn't release us from the requirement to forgive. It's not reconciliation. Reconciliation can take place after forgiveness, but it doesn't always. If you're going to forgive someone who doesn't care whether you forgive them and don't want your forgiveness or don't think they did anything wrong, you may never reconcile with that person. You know, I often think of the story of David with Saul. You know, David served Saul, actually ate at his table. He played musical instruments for him. He served in battle and actually became a greater warrior in battle than Saul and conquered more people. And Saul became very jealous of that and sought to kill David. He tried to kill him one time. He threw a spear at him and it stuck in the wall next to him. And there was times when Saul would kind of feel bad about it and want David to come back, but then he would try to kill him again. So eventually, David fled into the wilderness from Saul, but David never sought retribution against Saul, and he had opportunity. He never sought vengeance, and he wanted to restore that relationship with Saul, despite the fact that God had ordained him to be the new king after Saul was gone. But he respected Saul, but they never reconciled. They never reconciled, and Saul was killed in battle, and so reconciliation never took place in that situation where David was wanting to forgive somebody. Forgiveness is not trust. Sometimes someone can betray you so badly that you don't automatically trust them right away. And that's okay. If you reconcile with somebody, trust can be rebuilt, but it isn't always instantaneous. You don't always immediately trust someone who has betrayed you in a grave way. It's sometimes very hard to get that trust back quickly. But it'll come back if you truly reconcile and work through the issues with the Lord as your guide. Forgiveness is not sweeping things under the rug or saying that someone who sinned against you, it's okay. You know, if someone comes up and punches you in the face, you're not going to say, oh, I forgive you. It's okay. You can punch me in the face anytime you want. You know, you don't do that. You're not saying that what they did was okay by forgiving them. You know, if someone could hold you up at gunpoint and steal all your money, and you can forgive them of that, but that doesn't mean that they're not going to be held accountable for it or that there isn't some consequence for it. So forgiveness is not pretending that something that was done to you was the right thing. It's not all automatically forgetting. Sometimes things can happen in your life that are so profound that they kind of sear a memory into you. And you can forgive a person that's sinned against you in that way. But if it involves something like they, you know, caused physical harm to you that's maimed you, you're not going to forget how that happened. And if it's a profound betrayal, you're not going to forget that necessarily. But you can forgive, and you can overcome to where those feelings, when you think about that offense, are benign. You don't feel the vengeance, the bitterness, the anger that comes along with unforgiveness. And then you can also even reconcile with that person. But that doesn't mean you ever forget necessarily what happened. You just don't keep it account or hold them accountable for it any longer because you've thrown it away. It isn't always healing. You know, when I think about healing, I think about emotional healing. And there's forgiveness, and I think there's also emotional forgiveness. I think when you forgive, and I believe this is the truth, is that you have to commit to forgiveness. It's a decision, just like in marriage when there's love between a husband and wife. If the husband and wife depend solely on emotional feelings of love, their marriage is going to have a problem because that doesn't last. But commitment does last, or it should. And so we need to commit to forgive, and emotional healing can come afterwards. And sometimes if it's a struggle, it's good to come alongside a fellow Christian who's a little bit more mature maybe or has been through something like that can help you through that emotional healing so that bitterness doesn't rise up in your heart. Because bitterness is one of the biggest problems with unforgiveness. And we don't hold on to... Forgiveness is not holding on or keeping an account of how many times you've forgiven somebody. If you have a little book that you say, well, Kirk, I've forgiven him this time, oh, 3 times so far. And if you're doing that, you're not forgiving any of those things. You're not. Because if you say, well, it's like a husband and wife in their relationship. You know, if you tell your wife you forgive her or something, or she forgives you of something, then the next time you have a disagreement, you whip that club out of your hand and start beating them over with it. Remember when you did this? You did the same thing this time. This was like it, or you didn't. Guess what? You've never forgiven them the first time. So keep that in mind so that when you forgive somebody, you realize that you are releasing them from all debt from that sin. And forgiveness is not holding on to those things. What happens when you don't forgive? Hebrews 12, verse 14 and 15 says, strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. Bitterness hurts. If you hold bitterness in your heart, it can hurt you and it can hurt those around us. You know, I've heard it said, and I'm sure everybody in here has heard this statement, that when you hold bitterness in your heart towards somebody and vengeful feelings, it's like swallowing a glass of poison and thinking you're going to hurt that other person. Because the only person that you hurt when you hold on to bitterness in your heart is you. And you can hurt other people with it too, not just yourself. Sometimes bitterness and unforgiveness can cause emotional and physical harm to yourself. You know, I've talked to several people through the years that they wanted healing for some physical ailment they had, and they couldn't receive it, and they couldn't figure out why. And then one day, the Holy Spirit revealed to them that, you know, I need to forgive so-and-so for this. And so they went, and they reconciled with that person and forgave him, and they received healing. So it can hinder you in that way. Sometimes when you don't forgive, it'll, and lots of times it will, it'll damage your witness. You know, if you have a neighbor that is unsaved and they know that you have an unforgiveness in your heart towards somebody and you're always saying, well, you know what this person did to me? Isn't this awful? And by the way, I want to share Jesus with you. That's not going to work. It's not going to help win them over to Christ if they see the bitterness and gall that's in you towards someone, and then you try to tell them about the love of Jesus. It's just not going to have an effect. We can be defensive and guarded when we don't forgive. You know, we can push people out of our life. If we have a person that we are holding back forgiveness from, and they happen to be a friend of another friend of ours, we may push that person out of our life. And the next thing you know, you've got relationships that are damaged beyond just the one because you haven't forgiven. It damages churches. You know, Pete spoke about this a couple weeks ago, about how a lot of people will get up and just leave a church and sometimes take others with them. And so often, that's because there's unforgiveness there, either on their part or on the part of others. You know, Proverbs 18:19, the first part of it says, a brother offended is more unyielding than a strong city. So if you offend a brother in Christ, sometimes it can be to the point where they're right and you think you're right, and the next thing you know, there's separation. And so they go to another person and say, this happened. And next thing you know, you've got maybe five or six people leaving a church. And I've seen churches actually split up in half over things like that. So you can do damage within churches. And remember, vindictiveness and anger and bitterness defines the lost. That scripture that Ted read is a good example of a person who is lost. He was forgiven everything. He went out and lived in unforgiveness. The first chance he had to forgive somebody, he failed to do it. And again, the bottom line is what happens when we don't forgive. Like in Matthew 6, where I read it, we're not forgiven. It's a requirement. You can't walk in God's will and have unforgiveness in your heart. And it's a difficult thing, because I know everything I'm talking about up here, I need to hear it myself, because there have been times in my life that I've withheld forgiveness for people. It's still sometimes a struggle with certain people that I have in my life that it's just really hard to forgive them, but you have to do it. You have to allow yourself to be changed to the point that you can forgive them. And finally, I want to talk about not being offended so easily and not being offensive. Because sometimes we get angry about stuff that really aren't even a sin against us. You know, Proverbs 19:11 says, good sense makes one slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook an offense. And Proverbs 17:9 is much like it. It says, whoever covers an offense seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates close friends. These are two good scriptures to help you to not only not be offended easily, but also not to offend easily. If you are slow to anger and can stop sometimes and reflect, sometimes you realize that you weren't even offense wasn't even brought against you. All you have to do is just take something out of context, and you could end up spewing out vitriol at somebody, and you're the one that now needs to be forgiven because you're the one that's being offensive. We have plenty of opportunity to be offended in this life too. So, you know, if you have any kind of people that are involved in you in your life closely, like close friends or family members, or even work people at work that you work with, they can offend you. But if we are looking to be offended, we're going to be offended every time. We have to be slow to take offense. It'll test your faith when you are offended. But we need to be like Jesus, and we need to allow God's Spirit to change us and to work through that. Don't be offensive. It's more than just your actions. Sometimes we can be very offensive. And I want to go back and mention one other thing, too, about being easily offended. You know, in our society, I talked earlier about unforgiveness. And this is something I wanted to bring up because I'm sure some of you have read some of these articles. I read one time about a woman who killed her husband because he ate the last chicken leg that was in the refrigerator. It's funny. I read somewhere just recently that people beat up a worker at a restaurant because they didn't give him enough ketchup packets with their meal. Really? But yet it happens all the time. And it can happen in marriages. We're laughing, but how many of us at times have gotten angry at our spouse because they painted a room the wrong color? Or if they ate the dessert that you had in the refrigerator that you were waiting to have for breakfast and it was gone. If you're offended by that, you're being offended too easily. So, you know, we need to be very careful about that. And don't be offensive. You know, it's more than just what you do. Proverbs 18:21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits." And James 3, verse 6 through 10 talks about this too. I'm not going to read that verbatim, but it talks about taming the tongue and how there's evil in the tongue and how man can control so many things, but he can't always control his tongue. And I don't know about you, but there's been times in my life that I've said something, and then right after I said it, oh, I shouldn't have said that. It's a terrible thing to say. That's happened to me. And so I really think that, you know, those are really good scriptures to stop and make us think about. Be very careful how you choose your words. Even when you're upset with somebody, you can be upset with something that was done to you and not throw out vitriol with your tongue. And who should we forgive? We should forgive everyone. You know, Luke 11, verse 4 says, "And forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted or offended or wronged us, and lead us not into temptation." Everybody that has offended us or wronged us should be forgiven. Enemies, loved ones, your spouse, your children, your brother, your sister, your close friends. You know, and when we don't forgive, you know, sometimes we don't forgive our spouse for a long period of time. And what happens is that there's a cycle that goes on where there's offense, unforgiveness on both sides. Offense, unforgiveness, silence, offense, unforgiveness. And sooner or later, after years of that, one of the spouses will blow up and the marriage will be over, because that bitterness stays inside of you and damages not only yourself, like I said earlier, but it can damage your relationships with people, and it can damage your marriage. You know, close friends can really hurt you, so we need to forgive them. You know, Jesus, in the book of Luke, it talks about when Peter denied Jesus three times. And it said the third time that he denied him, Jesus glanced over at him. And so you know that Jesus heard that, and he felt that hurt. Because Jesus had every emotion we have. He felt every emotion that we felt. It says in the Bible that Jesus wept. And Jesus anguished over the things in his life sometimes that he witnessed. And so, you know, he had that emotion in himself, but yet he forgave Peter. And not only did he forgive him, he restored that relationship with him. He reconciled with him, and Peter became one of the pillars of the early church because of it, because he forgave. And we need to remember that, because sometimes you can forgive somebody of something that they feel so grievously about that they did to you, and you can forgive them and you can save their life. You can save their life, because they might go off into self-hate and their life spiral down after that. I mean, that's an extreme example, but it's happened. So when you forgive somebody, you're speaking life to them. Just don't forget that. And it doesn't matter how much you were offended, or even if the person doesn't think we should have need forgiveness, and how we should forgive. Again, I said we should commit to forgiveness, and you know, we need to cast the feelings into the sea of forgetfulness. So when we forgive, we may not forget what happened, but we have to throw all the harsh feelings away and get away from them. Ephesians 4:1 says, "I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love." And Matthew 5:40 5:44 says, "But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." So we need to pray for those people that we forgive, and we need to love them. We need to forgive and love. Don't forget, forgiveness is an act of love. And we need to pray for them also, and even the unsaved, especially for the unsaved when we forgive them, because they need the prayer more than anyone. Colossians 3:12-13 says, "Put on then, God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so also must you forgive." So we do it in humility. We forgive in love. We forgive in sincerity, realizing how much we've been forgiven. And we do it often. 70 times 7. Jesus said that, you know, if you take 7 times 70, it's 490 times. That's not what Jesus meant there. He meant to forgive as many times as you need to forgive someone. Not keeping a record. Okay, this is your 489th time. It's not that. You forgive every time it's needed. And sometimes there's going to be people in your life that need forgiving quite a bit. You know, so in summary, I just want to say that forgiveness is required. It's not always easy, and it's not always something that we're going to be able to do out of our own strength. Most of the time, we're not. But that's why we have to allow God to change our hearts, to be in His Word, be praying, and allow the Holy Spirit to change us so that we can get to the point where we are considered good forgivers, because good forgivers are walking in the way of the Lord, and it's just His desire for us. And that's it. Let's close in some prayer. Lord, thank you so much for this word, Lord, and I thank you that as I studied for this, you spoke so deeply into my heart about it. And Lord, I just pray that we would become forgivers, and that we would always realize that we have no right to hold forgiveness from anyone, no matter what they've done, because you've forgiven us more times than we could ever forgive someone else. And just help us to walk in your Spirit and be changed by your word. In Jesus' name, amen.